Good morning, everyone. The principle of sowing and reaping is the topic I'd like to share with you this morning. You know, every choice has a consequence. If we make wise, godly decisions, we can expect the Lord to reward us for our faithfulness. If we make rash or sinful choices, then we can anticipate negative consequences. The fruit, good or bad, is usually not evident immediately. But one day, we will either be rewarded for righteous living or reap the consequences for rebellion against God. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the scripture states the principle of sowing and reaping. Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In other words, you reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. Although the principle uses agricultural terms, it applies to spiritual things. In almost every other area of life as well. There's a warning. This passage begins, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." Now, the most common deception people have is that they can rebel against the Lord and get away with it. Ernest Hemingway, the well-known author, was an atheist who often boasted of his unbelief. He even went so far as to write a blasphemous version of the Lord's Prayer. And as he indulged in worldly pleasures, it must have seemed that he was getting away with mocking God. But at the end of his life, he committed suicide. His atheism could not bring him peace, hope, or joy. So what does it mean to mock the Lord? It is like churning one's nose up at him. Mocking him includes laughing or sneering at his laws and being arrogant and rebellious towards him. Some people think that if they don't believe in God, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. But spiritual principles apply to all people, whether they accept them or not. Let us turn to the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Now let's define a few terms that we talked about in Galatians 6. The first word is flesh. The part of us is that wants to live independently from God. When we trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior, received water baptism for the washing away of our sins, He then pardoned all of our sins and gave us the promise of His Holy Spirit, who will dwell within us. But a part of you and me still wants to live independently from God. And we call that part the flesh. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Verse 20. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. sow to the flesh, to yield to the cravings and the sinful desires. In other words, a person fails to resist sensual, immoral, or ungodly attitudes or entertainment. For instance, people might overemphasize their appearance, focus on becoming rich, or even allow themselves to watch pornographic or otherwise immoral material. Corruption, decay, ruin, and destruction. You see, ultimately, sin leads to death. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, says, "The wages of sin is death." And over time, rebellion against God destroys a person, just as a fatal disease slowly takes a life. But because the consequences don't happen instantly, many people think that they are getting away with sin. And I would talk about sow to the Spirit. What does that term mean? To do things that please the Lord. Some examples might include reading God's Word, sharing your testimony with someone, making godly choices. Now let me speak with you a little bit about testimonies. Our personal testimony is very unique, and sharing it is a responsibility that we must never take lightly, and we must never overuse. God has entrusted each of us with an opportunity to affect people who watch us every day. You know, sometimes we don't know the influences that we have, but people do watch us, waiting to see if our words match our actions. You've probably seen someone, or you've probably been influenced by someone who gave a testimony. Maybe that person's lifestyle spoke very clearly to your heart about needing a Savior. In the same way, you can impact others, even when you have no idea they are watching. Now, there are three things that are essential in our lives if we want to affect others for God's kingdom. First, our character needs to be solid. What we are on the inside is much more important than what we look like on the outside. Secondly, our conduct or what we do should be in line with God's commandments. Unbelievers are watching. So make sure you stay in the center of the Father's will and maintain a godly walk. Thirdly, our conversation is an indication of our true character. Before we can expect anyone to be curious about our life, we need to consider what our words reveal about us. Let's turn to Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12:34. "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." You see, our personal story is a powerful tool. It is the expression of what God has done and is doing in your life. It doesn't matter whether your testimony is simple or dramatic. If Jesus is your foundation, He can use you to draw people to Himself. But we must be cautious in our testimony. We must realize that if our testimony is completely negative and leaves the listener with no hope and no encouragement, then it is a futile testimony. It is a testimony that is simply sad and tragic. But our testimony should always end on a positive note so that we can encourage those who are listening to come to know Jesus just like we know Jesus. To come and see and experience the joy like we are experiencing the joy. But if we are still living in sadness and there is no joy in our heart, then why should they believe our testimony? Why should they want to come to Jesus if we are continually living in sadness? So just think, if your character, your conduct, and your conversation are in line, that when you encounter someone, you could change someone's life for eternity. Obeying God increases the Holy Spirit's influence in our life. Eternal, long-lasting, high quality. Sow to the Spirit, and the crop that we will reap will be of an enduring and divine nature. When we plant righteous and godly seeds, we will harvest quality things, such as peace, integrity, healthy relationships, things that have a permanent value. It is what is known in the agricultural fields as the law of harvest. Whatever seed we plant is what you will harvest. If you plant apple seeds, you will harvest apples. If you plant soybeans, you will harvest soybeans. If you plant seeds of anger or hatred, you will reap a harvest of anger and hatred. If you plant seeds of resentment or jealousy, you will reap a harvest of the same. If you plant seeds of unforgiveness, I think you get the idea. But if we plant seeds of peace and joy and hope, seeds of love and forgiveness, then we will reap the same in our lives. There is a promise. Those who continue to sow to the Spirit can expect God to reward them. Turning back again to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The Apostle Paul had been persecuted, struck down, whipped, shipwrecked, stoned, and imprisoned. But he always encouraged the believers. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, somehow believers have come to expect material rewards for obedience to God. Is this what Paul received? No. Although his basic needs were provided during most of his life, he also experienced intense persecution, and eventually was even beheaded. However, millions of believers have been encouraged and instructed through his letters to the churches, which became a part of the New Testament. His heavenly reward will be great. The promise in Galatians 6, verse 9 reminds me of those who faithfully serve God with little or no earthly recognition. Think about pastors who shepherd a small church. Perhaps their salary is low. Even worse, maybe the congregation doesn't even seem to want to grow spiritually. And he rarely gets a thank you, much less any kind of material reward. But yet year after year, he continues to pastor his congregation faithfully. Or think about godly people who make very little money. They read the Word of God, faithfully attend church, pray diligently, always tithe their income. But when you look at their life, they cannot point to any great accomplishments in their life. And to those people, Paul would say, don't become weary. Your crop is coming in, and it will be worth it. All of it. And then we see that there's opportunity. You see, sowing to the faith, sowing to the Spirit is an act of faith. And as such, it is only possible during our earthly lifetimes. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You see, all of us have the chance to sow seeds into the lives of other people. Our friends, our family, children, grandchildren, co-workers, Seeds can even be small acts, like telling someone that God loves them, offering to pray for a person who is sick, showing kindness to a stranger who is in need. Sowing to the Spirit includes talking to people about Jesus, giving out our church pamphlets or tracts, encouraging others to listen to our sermons online, going to our website to read the articles and devotionals and testimonies. When you are tempted to become weary and give up, remember that God sees all the little things that you do. So ask yourself, do you usually seek to please the Holy Spirit? Or do you often indulge in your flesh, the part of you that acts independently of God? Perhaps you fluctuate between the two choices. I pray that we will make a decision today to sow seeds of love and patience and truth. Brothers and sisters, we will reap what we sow. And there is no escaping this eternal principle. So we need to take the time to plant the seeds of righteousness. And we will reap a harvest of eternal rewards.